Hey, thank you for joining us for this week's podcast at Christ Fellowship. We invite you to grab a Bible, a journal, or whatever you need to engage with the Holy Spirit during this time. Our prayer is that God would use this to equip and empower you into all He has designed you to be. And if you want to learn more about what's going on here in East Tennessee, check out our website and follow us on social media. Enjoy.
Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for you. We thank you for who you are and what you've done and what you are doing. Yeah, Jesus, this morning, we just want to fix our eyes on you, get our gaze on you. Just even thinking through it being Palm Sunday and what that represents, praying about this earlier as a team, just even picturing that scene in your mind as Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey and they're singing and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and cheering because they expect freedom, but they have no idea the price that freedom will cost. He's going to bring freedom, but it's not going to be in the way they expect. He's going to liberate the captives, but it's going to be way different than they ever saw coming. And he's still doing that today. He's still riding in, weaving his way into the story of our lives, bringing freedom. And he knows what that invitation is for you this morning. And Jesus, we just want to walk in that. We want to receive the gift that you pay. We want to receive that. So would you just expand our hearts and minds this morning? Expand our ability to receive. That we don't have to do anything to earn anything. You've paid the highest price. But Father, just teach us how to follow you as we learn to receive the gift of freedom this morning. We love you, King Jesus. We thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You guys can grab a seat. My name is Richie Christie. I am one of our pastors on staff. I'm going to invite some friends on out here. Because we're wrapping up our freedom series, actually. If you've been with us for a little bit of time, you know that we've been in this freedom series the last few weeks. It's really the third part of a trinity of series that we've done since we kicked off the year, walking through really some core values here at CF. And values we think the Lord has for his people around hearing from God, identity, and freedom. And as we wrap up each series, we always wrap up, and we've been doing this, and I've loved it. We've grabbed just people, a part of the congregation, a part of the community, to share their stories of freedom, to kind of unpack that with people. And so I've got three awesome people here today that are going to share their stories with you guys. Why don't you introduce yourself, who you are, what you're doing with your life, and then maybe how long you've been coming to CF.
Yeah, so my name is Brian Fitzgerald. I've been going to Christ Fellowship for about 12 years now. This is my wife, Amanda Fitzgerald. We have four lovely kids, one of them sitting over here. But it's been a journey for us here at Christ Fellowship, and we've grown so much, and we appreciate the community that is here.
Yeah, my name is Amanda Fitzgerald. I'm married to Brian, and like you said, we have four kids. Who we had them within 5 years, so that's exciting and eventful.
And I'm Jeremy Day. My wife Gabrielle and I have been coming for about 4 years now. We've got two little ones. One's Easton. He turns three in like 5 days. We go to celebrate his little birthday with some family just after this, so that'll be good. And our littlest one's Lila Mae. She's 5 months, and just really love the community here. We've got a little medical stuff going on with the youngest one, and just the community at CF here has been wonderful through it and very supportive, and just a great place to be. So excited to be able to share with y'all.
Yeah, I'm super excited you guys are up here. I had to twist some arms to get them up here, but they're here. Sharon, and the first service was really powerful, so I expect the same for sure. But, we've been talking about this idea of freedom, and I think you could define freedom a lot of different ways. You could talk about it a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that's been really resonating with me, and I think that your stories highlight it really well, is really framed up by this author, Paulo Coelho, out of the book The Alchemist. He talks about it in this way. He says, maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place. And I love that image of freedom, because I think we think it's future tense. I want to step into freedom. But a lot of the things we need freedom from are things that have hindered us in the past, things that have held us back. And the Lord really inviting us to work through those things so that we can step forward into the life that he's always designed for us. And I do think your guys' stories embody that. So I'll leave the floor open to you as you guys just kind of share, yeah, your journey to freedom, how the Lord's invited you into it. And we'll unpack it as the day goes on. But yeah.
Yeah, so my freedom basically began when I was 29. But before that, I felt like the Lord wanted to share some of my past basically to lead up to that. Before I begin, I forgive my father, and I have a lot of compassion for him because I knew what kind of childhood he had. But up until the age I was about 13, my dad was an alcoholic, drug abuser, and just very mean and angry person towards my sister, my mom, and I. And it was pretty rough growing up until that point. And then at the age of 13, my dad encountered God on a road trip. He was a truck driver. And that time he came back to our house, basically he stopped smoking, he stopped drinking, he stopped doing everything that was associated with. He started being kind to us and everything. And we started going to church every Sunday night, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every revival around Southwest Virginia, basically. And it was awesome. Like, things started to look different in our life, in my family. And within that time frame, there was a missionary that came to our church and showed a video of people burning a nail. And at the end of that, they did an altar call, and I felt like I was supposed to go up there and just repent from the sins that I was going through, and then basically just try to live a different lifestyle. And within that church, I felt like I was ultimately there to, one, check box, repent so I don't go to hell one day, and two, I have to live up to this standard or expectation that the church kind of presented to me and then what I interpreted from the Bible. And then just later on, my dad felt like he was led to preach at that church. And he did it a couple times, and then somebody said something to him, and he got offended. And then basically that offense turned into bitterness, and that bitterness turned into anger again, and then we started experiencing that anger within the family again. And unfortunately, I got messed up. I started having a weird view of God, and why would he allow my dad to be healed from all these things and then transition to being a kind person to going back into bitterness? And that just shows you the effects of trauma in your own life. Like, my dad had trauma that he never resolved, and now he lived an angry life again. But ultimately, I tried to live up to this standard and expectation, and I couldn't meet it. And then I would start to rebel. And then eventually my dad ultimately told me I was the reason he could not preach in church, is because I was being the devil, and I was the devil. And that's why he couldn't preach. And then after that, I just kept rebelling. I got frustrated, and I would try to live up to this expectation and standard, and then I would not meet it. And then I would just go down into this pit of, all right, I'm going to rebel. And then I would get really depressed because I knew that that wasn't the life I was supposed to be living. And God would always meet me in those deepest, darkest moments of my life of depression. And it was so weird, but he would just encounter me to make sure that I didn't possibly do something really, really stupid. But ultimately, this went on for 15 years. And basically at the age of 27, I was at a point where I was doing things I shouldn't do. I was out just partying, being stupid. And then I felt like God nudged me. I had an opportunity to go back to Afghanistan as a contractor. And I decided to go because otherwise I was going to end up probably dead on the side of the road or something. So I went to Afghanistan and met two influential people in my life. One was a captain in the Air Force that kind of gave me a different perspective of what it was to be a godly person. And he showed me how to read and interpret the Bible in a different way. But second was I met Amanda. And Amanda and I tried to establish a relationship over there. And it wasn't a healthy relationship because obviously I was still broken. And I had a dogmatic approach. And the bad thing about that is I took that dogmatic approach onto her. And I questioned her Christianity. I questioned the way she was living her life. I questioned and shamed her basically quite a bit. And I feel really horrible about that now because I just grew up in that. And that's what I learned and the behaviors I learned and the belief that I learned in my life. And then as she redeployed back to the United States, I decided to end my contract and see if we could make this work. So we moved to Kingsport, Tennessee, and we tried to create a relationship. And as it turned out, it wasn't healthy. And we got engaged, and we planned on getting married. Sorry, Cynthia. And I just ruined it. I created a lot of chaos. I was a hurt person. And we got in a fight. She moved back to Kansas City for a while. And then eventually she moved back to Kingsport, and we still tried to make it work, and we couldn't, so we ended up going to a premarital counselor. And we met with him one time, and he basically told us that we needed to meet on our own because we're both individuals that are screwed up, basically, and we needed help on our own. So within the first session with myself, I was pulled back in. What he did was an inner healing prayer. And I was pulled back to that moment when I went to the altar as a 13-year-old boy after that hell video. And I was kneeling at the altar, the burgundy carpet, the smell of the mustiness. And just as I was kneeling, Jesus came up in my mind eye and like just came up alongside me on the right side, extended his hand, and he said, "You are loved and all is forgiven." And every bit of heartache and shame and bitterness and self-hatred, and I can't explain, like everything just kind of unraveled off of my heart, and I was able to just receive love for the first time in my life and experience love for the first time in my life. And then that trajectory, that moment basically changed everything. The counselor gave me a book. It's called Victory Over the Darkness. And I didn't understand that I was living in darkness for 15 years. And I was just set free. And I was able to forgive my father. I was able to forgive myself for the lifestyle that I've been living. And I was just allowed to love and be loved and understand that I was a child of God, and my purpose here on life was not to go to heaven one day, but was to bring heaven to earth and to love myself and to love others, and it just set me free. Yeah.
Wow. Love that. So good. So at some point you met Amanda, and her story and your stories collided, but you've got your own to share too, kind of walking through all that.
Okay, we're back. I grew up in the suburbs of Kansas City, Missouri. My parents were divorced for as long as I could remember. Growing up, we weren't super religious. You know, we attended church on Sundays. But in my mind, I knew that Jesus died for my sins, and it was all about being a good person and doing the right thing, and then I get to go to heaven. I didn't have that daily walk with the Lord. Entering into like middle school, high school age, I realized that there was something different with my dad. I didn't really have the verbiage around it, the understanding around it, but I knew that on the weekends that I would spend with him, it would be epic. He would plan the best weekends, the most fun, and then the next moment I would have like a sporting event or a school function and he would just not show up. And then it would lead into he would be in the hospital for, you know, a few days. I wouldn't be able to visit him, not knowing why. And then next time I saw him, he would be the same old dad again. And, you know, looking back, I don't know how you explain mental disorders, bipolar disorder to children. It's a really hard concept to understand. But I quickly found out that if I just focus on my grades, focus on sports, I can receive my worth through what I do. And so I just be the part, do the part, and nobody has to know what's really underneath. And so I just really learned how to stuff my emotions. I just created this dark pit that I didn't want anybody to know or to see. And so I just kind of lived in what I did to make that happen. And as I got older, my relationship with my dad just kind of morphed into this dependency where I felt like I was the adult almost and that he was the child. And the only way I knew how to deal with that was to run away from it. And so I think that's what ultimately landed me in the Air Force was it was an outlet for me to escape with good reason and still achieve and still, you know, be a good person and doing the right thing. And so that's where I ended up on a deployment and I met Brian there. And, you know, he was actually the first person that really challenged my faith, which, you know, a lot of shame came with it. But at the same time, like, it really opened me up to say, you know, what am I believing? Why am I believing this? You know, my relationship with God is probably not where I want it to be. So I think I dug internally deep to just kind of experience that. And once I came back to the States and I moved back to Kansas City and, you know, all the things that he shared, I realized, like, if we are going to get married, let's do the right thing by going to premarital counseling. And lo and behold, you know, we show up and he's like, I don't think you two are getting married, but we'll see. So, yeah, and same counselor led me through an inner healing prayer and he walked me back to a memory when I was a child and I was just sitting in my room looking out the window, watching just a fight between my parents. And in that moment of that memory, I remember thinking, like, what is so wrong with me? You know, why? What is so faulty within me that they're fighting and I don't get to go to my dad for the weekend? And the Lord just met me in that place. And one, he shared with me, like, I'm not alone in this memory. Like, he has always been with me. And that, too, like, he created me. And so I don't have to take on this identity of, you know, faulty or not good enough. And so, yeah, like he said, like, that was the trajectory. That was the point where we were like, okay, we don't have to keep living in this cycle of do good, be good, and then fall short. So it was really liberating. It was the first time that I actually felt the love of Jesus towards me. And like he said, like, once you experience that love, then you can actually give that love away and know and understand that is what true love is. Yeah.
Yeah, so powerful, seriously. You guys are going to share a little bit more, how it's impacted your marriage, your family, and all that, but Jeremy, your story as well is kind of tied in these thread lines.
Yeah, something we didn't realize, well, at least the three of us didn't realize coming into it is we all are sharing very similar stuff today. And hearing their stories the first time through in first service, I was just like, this is like looking in a mirror. It's pretty intense. And really the only, I think, key difference was that when I grew up just north of Chicago, there wasn't any kind of background in faith or anything. No experience with church, just wasn't in my family, just wasn't a part of it all. My parents were divorced super early in my life as well, and my mom in particular battled a lot of pretty intense addiction stuff with alcohol in particular. And through that, just witnessed and got told and heard and saw just a lot of things that no one really should, especially not someone's child and at the age that I was at the time. It led through a lot of just kind of sadness and confusion growing up. And then right around high school, it started to kind of morph and harden into more of just hatred for her and her situation, my situation, things about myself, ways I was reacting to things because of it. And that just stuck. It took root for a really long time through high school, through college, was just kind of bouncing around looking for anyone I could to just feel important to. Led me to hurt a lot of people and bounce around relationships and stuff that I'm just not proud of. And I had a friend reach out to me, dear friend was in my wedding and everything. And he could tell that I was going through some stuff and he invited me to his church and, they were in a series in Revelation at the time. And he said he was up the whole week just praying late at night, like, please, please let us do something else on Sunday. Cause Jeremy's coming. Please don't let it be this. And sure enough, we sat down and, the pastor right away said, hey, we've been in this series. We're going to take a break for a week. And he started talking about golf balls and how in the history of golf, they used to be smooth. And over time, they tried to hang on to the ones as long as possible because the more dinged up they got, the further they flew and everything. And some scripture that went with that and was in the back of the room, like 15, 16, just bawling and like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I need to hear. And then walked out and didn't go back. You would have thought that would be kind of the breakthrough moment. But it wasn't for a long time. Went to college after that, far, far from home. Just kind of fell back into it all, started going through depression and everything on my own. Got very, through the whole thing, kind of one of the takeaways I took was that I just was on my own, that I wasn't important or recognized and wasn't enough that I was pulling away for my mom to realize, like, hey, we got to do something about this. So just became very internal with everything and got to the point where it was really, I was pretty much in the mindset that one of two things would happen. Either I would slip into the same lifestyle and succumb to some kind of addiction, or I would take my own life. And that was really the only outcomes I saw. From college, went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was working for the minor league baseball team there in the front office. And this beautiful lady came in and interviewed for the job I had just started like 2 months earlier. And they were super impressed. And I was like, well, that's a problem. Got to do something about that. So I worked my way into going out on a date with her and removed that threat and fell into another one of, oh man, I think I'm in love. And sure enough, a couple years later, we're married and brief pit stop in Charlotte before we moved here probably about 5 years ago and started coming to CF about four. And she just was transformational in my faith, got me going to church. Shortly after coming here, we made it out to an encounter night, and Tyler's heard the story a million times. We were just talking about it before. It still gets us every time when we talk about it, or she hears it, or we talk together about it. But I was praying through a lot of those issues and that pain, and for the first time kind of changed the prayer to be, instead of just, you know, take this away or fix it, it was, I want this gone because of what it does between me and you, Lord, the relationship that it takes away. And I kid you not, no exaggeration at all. Like, amen, Tyler steps forward and picks up the mic. And she says, all week I've been just feeling this image of Christ going through the aisles here this encounter night, stopping at certain people and taking off just layers and layers of old pain and putting them on himself. There's probably still a wet spot over there from crying and just collapsing. And it was really the first step. There's been a lot more, as we'll talk about. There's still things that I'm working on, right? Like, it wasn't the cure-all, but it just removed a lot of what that pain was, which at the time, that was what I thought my identity was. And the freedom came that night in the form of, that's not, there's one out here. And just all these images of the worst moments of all of it, and Jesus right there with me, which was just mind-blowing even to today, because I had no knowledge, no relationship of anything in faith. So for Christ to be there in those moments, it was kind of the first moment that I was like, okay, no, I am, he does see me, and I am important, and I am loved, and it's all stemmed from there.
Wow, just so awesome hearing all that, yeah. I think what's, and really, I didn't even know this was going to come together, but then as we kind of unpacked it preparing this week, it was really cool how the Lord highlighted this. But I think all of your stories in some way, shape, or form, you know, I think all of us being parents, we know that every parent in general is doing the best that they can, but there were some things with upbringings that maybe felt heavy to you or were hard to work through as you became an adult in working through those things. But now, I mean, especially with you two married, and I know Jeremy, you'll speak to this too. Like, how has this shifted your marriage? How's it shifted your family when you're thinking about raising your kids, when you're thinking about the future of like, okay, going back to that quote, I'm unbecoming so I can really establish and become who God's always invited me to be, always invited our family to be. So yeah, I guess speak to that. How's this impacted your marriage and raising kids together?
So it's impacted our marriage. We wouldn't have had a marriage, for one, without that. Two is, I feel like I'm always prompted by God and Holy Spirit is like, Yeah, this is a generational curse that is going to be broken with your family, and I'm just reminded and brought. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, I feel like God prompts me when to recognize those traits, and then he allows me to see it in a different way. Yeah, sometimes I screw up, but I feel like we are progressing as a family. We're trying to show our kids love and compassion and forgiveness, and when we do screw up, we recognize it, and we talk to our kids about it, and then we ask them for forgiveness. I mean, that's the only way to work through this and to grow as a family and to break these chains off and to not live in darkness.
Yeah, you stole my line. No, I'm just kidding. I think for me, just understanding, like, this is a journey and this is a process and it's not a one and done. And that's really hard for somebody that likes to achieve things and do things. And so the Lord has just really met me in those times where I've encountered a situation or we've gotten in a fight and my brain automatically wants to go back to, you're not good enough. There's just something wrong with you. And the enemy just likes to highlight that. And I think through this journey, it's just the progression of time. Before, it would take me, you know, a week to understand, like, you're believing a lie, and that's not the truth that I have for you. And as we've grown together, that time frame has just shortened. Whereas if we're in the midst of an argument, I can be like, okay, what is he saying that's triggering me, and where is that coming from? And just processing that with the Lord, processing that in community. Find a group of people that you can be open and vulnerable with and just allow the Lord to speak into those lies, because most of the time it is some sort of childhood trauma that we don't even realize. But as I shared, like, that memory, to be honest, I don't even know how much of that memory is actually true, but it's my truth in my mind. And from that point, the world and people have just layered on the lies that I've been believing. And it's just been through a lot of processing and just hearing the Lord's truth about who I am, how he created me. Like, that's just kind of been my true north of, okay, I'm not operating in who you created me to be. Why am I believing this? And just kind of nipping it in the bud and just moving forward and progressing. And I think with raising kids, it's been so awesome because, like, we can see it and we can, like you said, just like apologize in the moment and just kind of, yeah, they're probably going to have to go through some inner healing prayers from what we have done. But at least, like, it's a journey together and we're just open with each other. And it's been really, it's just been a new light on how to be married and how to live a life that's just in alignment with God.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think there's been a couple of big changes. Obviously, I mean, like I was saying, you know, I only saw two outcomes for my life, and I couldn't be further from any of them as I am today. I'm up here in regularly going to church and in faith and married and a father twice over and everything. So there's just the on paper stuff. But off of it, I think, you know, I give so much credit to my wife for kind of from the very beginning sitting down and saying, hey, my faith is who I am, and this is a non-negotiable, and really setting the precedent for us being friends first, and in faith first above all else, really solidified the marriage side and set up a lot of things that would otherwise not be great just based on what I had experienced and lived. The other one is when I look at my two kids and all the love that I feel for them and just my heart exploding for them, coming to terms with and still trying to unpack that's less than the amount of love that God feels for me, feels for them, my wife, for all of you. There's nothing in the world stronger than what I feel for my wife and my kids, and to know that it pales in comparison is mind-blowing and very healing to a lot of what I grew up feeling, for sure. And just helping the kids understand that from day one and wanting them to grow up in this environment. I want them to, of course, you know, accept faith on their own one day, but just giving them that exposure and that support system from the jump is huge.
Yeah, I love that. You know, yeah, so good. Good. I think you've all kind of hit on this in some way, shape, or form. This is why I love hearing your stories. But there were some like behaviors that were happening, or habits that were happening, or whatnot. But they were really rooted in ways of thinking or wrong beliefs about yourself, about God, about people. And then it came out in this way, whether I was running or going to something else, right? But you've kind of spoken into like, yeah, you had this encounter with the Lord, but we all know, like, and you've shared this, like, man, yes, I've encountered this. Yes, I'm walking in freedom, but it doesn't mean I'm never going to struggle again. It doesn't mean that the lies are never going to come back. It doesn't mean the bad habits aren't going to come knocking on my back door. So what are some things that you've done or you wish you would have known to kind of break through those things, to kind of walk into that freedom faster or quicker as time kind of went on?
Yeah, for me, I'm just reminded of Romans 12. It's like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I didn't really understand that the battlefield is in really in your mind. Like, the enemy is trying to come after your mind quite a bit and just take you away from the truth and what God has really created you to be and who you're supposed to be in this earth. And I feel like if you can recognize that quickly, that this is not truth, and that you go and ask God what is the truth about yourself and about who he has created you to be, then you will overcome quickly. So I wish I would have known that earlier in my life.
Yeah, I think that the enemy is really good at taking what the Lord has gifted you and just manipulating it slightly. So for me, like, naturally, God gave me the gift of, like, achieving things and doing things. And the enemy kind of twisted that and made me believe, like, that was my worth and that was my identity. And I think just breaking through and understanding the identity that God actually gave me and just always going back to that identity, it was so powerful and freeing because I was able to step into things even when they were hard or, and just going through marriage and just having mentors and the Winships, just processing things. Like, I'm able to call out things in him. Like, if I see him operating in a false identity, it just be like, what's going on with you? And just being able to do that much quicker, there's just been so much freedom around that. So yeah, just get in community and just listen what the Lord is prompting you, because he's prompting you to do something and just being in tune with that voice.
Yeah, piggybacking off that is just the biggest thing, two parts to it, is just that you're never alone in any of this. I think it's, I still have that just terrible habit of, you know, something goes wrong, there's some challenge, some poor season, and I'm just, let me just shrink it. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'll even pull back from my wife and talking about it. Worst of all, I may pull back from praying about it. And those are all the opposite of what you should really be doing to unpack all this. Seeing Christ in some of those worst moments very, very vividly was something that was transformative. So I invite you all to recognize that and seek out that community. And then the other half, just specific to those in a similar place, either dealing with the addiction themselves or that of someone that you love, just know that that's not your identity. That's not the peace that's from God. And it's on the other side of it. It is huge and something I wish I would have heard much earlier.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Seriously, for sharing. I think what I really loved most about this is, so one of the things I struggle with being a pastor is sometimes this idea of, like, you know, we get up here and teach, and I know there's people in the crowd that are like, cool, but like, you get paid to do that. So like, what about all the other people? And what I've loved about the stories is, man, you guys are normal people. Like, you're normal people with real stories, working normal jobs, like living life in the kingdom of God, trying to navigate all this stuff. But your stories are so beautiful because it's like, man, it doesn't matter how far you feel from the Lord or how far you've ran from the Lord. Like his pursuit of you through the whole story arc of all of it is that he was there. Like even for you guys to go back into those memories and moments and go, man, like where is this coming from? And realizing Jesus was there and he had truth for you, like it's so powerful. And then to even thinking about like, man, like when he meets us and gives us freedom, like it's not just for you. It's for your family. It's for your kids. It's for the people around you. It's for, you know, the legacy you're going to live with your kids, knowing, and again, we're all parents, like you're doing the best that you can, but man, I can't make everything perfect, but I do know I'm going to fight my best to make sure that like, before you leave this house, you're going to know that dad and mom believe what God has spoken over your life. And we're going to do our best to pave the way so you can walk into that easier than I walked into it. Right? Kind of that idea that like your ceiling becomes their floor. Like you ran so they could walk with him. And I love that idea. And I think you guys embody that. And really for all of us to realize like, it doesn't matter your story. It doesn't matter your upbringing. All those things are things the Lord wants to meet you in and work with you in those things. And I think so often we have behaviors or habits or areas where we don't feel free. And we try to like white knuckle it into better discipline or, you know, whatever it is. But really, I think what you guys have modeled is let's ask the Lord, like, why am I doing this? Invite him in to like, show me why this thing is here at a deep level and heal me in it, because that's what he wants to do. And so, yeah, just thank you guys. I thought it was amazing today. So can we give it up for them? So, so good. Yeah. Thank you. So as we end today, just singing a few more songs together, I just kind of want to walk us into just even some freedom here. And so if you would just pray with me, and we're just going to kind of do what they were even talking about, of this idea of bringing those things to the Lord, inviting his freedom into those places, and knowing that it doesn't matter how far we feel or where our life has put us in, like all three of their stories, normal people just like you and me, that the Lord has pursued over and over and over again and showed up over and over and over again. And so, yeah, Jesus, we just want to open ourselves up to that love, to that reality, that you are always present with us, your ever-present presence. So as you're sitting there, we're just going to invite the Lord to kind of walk us through the visual prayer exercise. I just want you to picture what it would look like if you were with Jesus right now. Or maybe you want to picture your favorite place in the world, a place that feels safe to you and comforting. Just picture what it would be like if Jesus was with you. If he was with you in that place. I want you to pay attention to what it feels like with him there, what he's doing, what that environment is. And I want you to just ask Jesus this question. Jesus, what is an area of my life or a way of thinking in my life that has felt burdensome for me, but you want to set me free in? What is an area of my life I don't feel free in? Feel like it's holding me back. Just ask him, Jesus, what do you want me to know? What do you know about this situation, this area, this way of thinking? What do you know about it that I don't know? Give me insight into this. Picture in your mind what it would look like if you were able to maybe hand this over to him. Like let him take it away. Let him take the burden away, or the way of thinking, or the lie, whatever it is. Just if you were able to give that to him as he's with you and see what he does. Picture of what it looks like to be fully free as you made me to be. I've handed this over to you. Give me a picture of what freedom looks like. What does it mean to be alive and free? As we continue to sing and worship, take whatever time you need with the Lord right now. If you want to stand up and shout in freedom, you do that. If you need to sit there and process through that, you do that. But just take these moments and just begin to enter into that freedom with the Lord, because he's come to set us free.